Welcome, dark friends, to the second episode of Dark Corner's third season, Wraiths of the Appalachian. This episode picks up with where we left Eddie, at the Devil's Tramping Ground. If you've not listened to episode 1, I strongly urge you to back up and begin with it. Otherwise, you'll be as lost as a child in the graveyard at midnight. And while that might sound like fun, it's just wrong. Let's begin, shall we? Chapter 2, The Devil's Tramping Ground. The path across the road leading into the woods was still discernible in the dusky light, but the trail was swallowed up by darkness after only a few feet. Eddie shook off the disturbing shadow image he thought he'd seen, dismissing it as a play of shadow and light and his overwrought condition. "It's not far to the site, best I remember," he thought as he crossed the empty road. "Seems weird, though, that not a single car has passed since I pulled off." In less than 10 minutes, Eddie came upon a wide clearing with the remnants of many campfires in the center. He was relieved to see a ring of rocks where he could rest his grill, since it meant he didn't have to go back to the van for the stove. Eddie set his gear down and immediately began to gather twigs and branches for his campfire before he lost what little daylight he had left. He needed to gather enough to not only cook his meal, but burn well into the night. "What in the hell am I doing?" Eddie thought as he piled up branches. "This is crazy. Somebody's going to show up, no doubt, or they wouldn't have gone to the trouble of bugging my van. But why? What would anyone want with me?" Only one way to find out. When Eddie thought he had enough fuel to last through most of the night, he assembled his kindling with a few larger pieces on top to get the fire started well. With a few wadded pages of newspaper he had in his pack, he lit the fire and admired it as the flames grew and caught. Another of the many lessons learned from dear old Dad. Once Eddie was satisfied that he had enough wood on the fire to make the coals needed for his meal, he settled on one of several large stumps that had been positioned in a circle for campers to sit on. He pulled out his phone to call Renee, but frowned when he saw he had no reception bars. He stuffed the cell back in his pocket as he muttered under his breath, but a rustling in the leaves caught his attention. Eddie stood and peered into the woods in the direction he had heard the noise. "What the hell is that?" He fumbled in his backpack, pulled out a flashlight, and darted the beam into the darkness. The sound stopped, but two yellow points of light reflected briefly in the beam a few feet above the ground before disappearing. "Who's there?" Eddie called out, trying again to shine his light on whoever or whatever was watching him. Only silence answered for a moment or two, and then another rustling indicated movement. Within seconds, a large black dog was standing in the circular clearing staring at Eddie. Eddie froze but kept the flashlight on the animal. "Could that be a wolf?" Eddie thought. But then the dog sat, a pose that was mildly comforting since the dog didn't seem as likely to attack, but also disturbing. "That's the dog I passed on the way out of Havenwood." "How you doing, fella?" Eddie said, hoping that a calm tone would ease any hostility the dog might have towards him. "Where'd you come from?" Eddie squatted to make himself less threatening. The dog continued to stare at Eddie, but did not move other than to cock its head to study him. "If I just had something to feed him, I'd feel a lot..." Eddie remembered the steaks he had in his pack. "You hungry, boy?" Eddie slowly stood and walked over to get the steaks from his pack. The dog watched his movements intently. Once Eddie had removed the plastic from the meat, the dog stood up. "Yeah, boy, don't worry. I'm going to share." Eddie tossed one of the steaks in front of the dog where it landed in the dirt. The beast immediately settled and began to eat, holding the raw flesh down as it ripped it with its teeth. "Well, while you're working on that, I'll start fixing my own dinner." With the dog's attention focused on its meal, Eddie spread the embers of his fire with a long stick so that he could lay the grill down on the rocks that encircled it. He retrieved one of the potatoes from his pack and poked it several times with a fork before wrapping it in foil and setting it in the embers. And then he set the grill on top of the rocks. "I'm going to wait a bit before I have my steak, okay, boy? Get my potato nearly done first." The dog didn't acknowledge that Eddie had spoken, which Eddie took as a good sign. He settled back on the log and watched as the dog wolfed down the last of his steak. When it finished, it stood and looked at Eddie. "Well, how was it?" The dog wagged its tail several times and then stood still, continuing to stare at Eddie. "You're welcome," Eddie said. "Care to join me by the fire?" Eddie held out a hand and the dog moved toward him. Eddie felt his heart rate increase as the dog got closer, but he continued to reach out to the dog. When it was close enough, he rested his hand on the dog's shoulder and patted it gently. The dog sniffed the air near Eddie, then leaned in and licked Eddie's face. Eddie tried not to think about the raw meat that was likely to be on the dog's mouth and tongue, but the relief at making friends with the wolf-like hound was greater than his worry. "Nice to meet you, too. You got a name, fella?" Eddie ran his hands over the dog's neck and shoulders, looking in vain for a collar that might be hidden in the black fur. "No ID, huh? I wonder if someone's looking for you, or if this is your regular stomping ground." As he said the words aloud, he remembered where he was, and a chill ran up his spine in spite of himself. "You don't seem like the devil to me." Another rustling in the woods made both of them turn their heads. Eddie could feel the low growl that rumbled through the dog like thunder threatening in the distance. "Hello? Anybody out there?" He rose to stand beside the dog, which remained by his side. "Hello," a male voice shouted back. "I live just across the way and saw the fire. I'll come forward, but I'm not sure your dog's comfortable with me." "He's not mine, but he seems okay," Eddie said. The uncertainty in his voice was not likely to be of great comfort to the stranger. Eddie could make out a light in the woods bouncing as the figure approached. Soon a man stepped out from the shadows into the clearing. The dog watched him warily but stayed in place. The stranger appeared to be a man in his late 60s or early 70s with thick white hair. He was wearing worn jeans with a beige nylon jacket over a light blue shirt. His worn work boots were scuffed and dirty.
I hope I'm not trespassing," Eddie said. "I was told it was okay to camp out here."
"You look like you know what you're doing," the man answered. "And since you're alone, I'm guessing you're not aiming to have any wild parties out here."
"I just brought two beers with me, but you're welcome to one of them."
Eddie moved to his pack to get them.
"Much obliged," the man said, taking the can Eddie offered. "I'm Nick."
"Eddie, nice to meet you." They shook hands.
"Care to take a seat? I'm waiting for a potato to bake, and then I'll throw on a steak. Sorry, but I already offered the other one to my new friend here."
"No thanks," Nick said. "I ate already." He looked at Eddie and the dancing flames from the fire reflected in the stranger's eyes. The dog had not stopped staring at the man since he'd arrived.
"I'm guessing you came up here to check out the story, see if you can spot the devil tromping round and round as he plots his nefarious deeds."
Eddie looked down at his feet before answering, then looked up and gave Nick a sheepish grin.
"Yes, something like that."
"As you can see, just like the story says, nothing'll grow where he does his walking." He winked at Eddie and grinned.
"There used to be lots more who came out here to do what you're doing. Now it's mostly just kids coming out to get high and raise hell."
Eddie nodded.
"You say this ain't your dog?"
"No, he just came walking out of the woods." Nick raised his beer to drink.
"Just like you did."
It seemed to Eddie that Nick froze for a split second as Eddie said the last part, but he continued the conversation in his same friendly tone.
"Don't think he's from anywhere around here. Pretty sure I'd have noticed a wolf dog like this one."
"Wolf dog?"
"Yep. Dog with wolf not too far back in his lineage. I'd bet anything on it."
"You think he's safe?"
"Seems safe enough now."
"Wouldn't want to cross him, though." Nick took another big swallow. "Looks as mean as Snarleyow."
"Excuse me?"
"Snarleyow. A phantom dog that wouldn't die. According to the stories, he appears and terrorizes folks, but nobody can kill him. Bullets won't stop him. If you throw a rock at him, it'll pass right through. There are even stories of cars who stopped on the parkway at night after they thought they hit a wolf or a big dog, only to get out and see the ghost dog standing by the side of the road with its eyes glowing in the dark, glaring at them."
"Well, that's a superpower I wouldn't mind having," Eddie said.
Nick looked at the fire for a moment before responding. Finally, he shook his head and spoke.
"I don't know. Immortality might not be what it's cracked up to be."
He tipped his beer can up again and drained it.
He crushed the can as he stood and put the empty in his pocket. "Well, I won't keep you any longer. Like I said, just thought I'd check to make sure everything was all right up here. I'm sure you'll leave the spot as you found it, which is appreciated." He nodded and turned away, and within moments there was no sign that he'd even been there. "Nice enough, gent," Eddie said to the dog, although it was still staring where Nick had re-entered the woods. "But I've got my supper to cook." He pulled the steak and a container of pepper from his pack and threw the meat on the grill, where it immediately sizzled. Sitting back on the log, he turned to the dog, which had been tracking his movements. "Snarly yow, huh?" The dog gave a little huff, not quite a growl, just a sudden expulsion of air, and got up to walk to the log where the stranger had been sitting. It sniffed, and then lifted its leg to urinate on it. "Whoa, well, I guess that's a statement." The dog continued to sniff the area and then followed Nick's scent across the dirt to the point at the edge of the clearing where they had first seen him. "I thought he was a decent enough guy. But then, I've always been a rotten judge of character. Renee always keeps me straight there." The thought of his girlfriend made him frown, and his hand flew down to touch the useless phone in his pocket. "I really need to call her." For a second, he entertained the idea of hopping back in the car and driving until he got a signal. But he dismissed the idea just as quickly as it had come to him. He turned his attention back to his dinner and sat on the log to watch the black dog, whose interest and sense had increased in exploring the wide expanse of grassless ground that surrounded the fire. "What you smelling, Snarly? Something interesting?" The dog's head snapped up and he looked at Eddie intently. "Snarly? Is that your name?" The dog's tail wagged twice and was still. "Is that a yes?" Two quick wags of the tail again. Eddie felt the back of his neck prickle. Gotta be a coincidence. "Are you a cat?" Eddie asked. The dog stared back without moving. "Are you a horse?" Still no response. "Are you a wolf?" One wag of a tail. "Okay, now I'm confused," Eddie thought. "But then again, that makes perfect sense based on what Nick said about him having wolf in his background." Eddie flipped his steak and sat back on his stump to think. He watched the dog as it walked around the fire until it got back to Eddie, where it stopped and stood to return Eddie's gaze. "Are you hungry?" Two wags. "You're not eating my steak. You had yours." The dog stared at Eddie and remained motionless. "If you want more food, you're going to have to find it yourself." The dog turned and trotted off into the woods as Eddie watched in amazement. Coincidence. It's gotta be a coincidence. As Eddie waited for his steak to be done, he reflected further on the strange events that had happened since he quit his job and hit the highway. The stuff with the dog is just coincidence, nothing else. There's no way that Snarly is the same dog I saw when I was pulling out of Havenwood. I didn't get that good a look at that dog, and one big black dog can look a lot like another. Nick is just a nice old storyteller who wants to keep an eye on the woods near his house. Eddie poked his steak with his fork, noted the blood that ran out, and decided it needed another minute or two on the fire. "But Mr. D," the voice in the van, "what the hell is that all about? There's no way anybody would go to all that trouble just to prank me, or lure me somewhere to rob me. I don't have anything that anyone would want." He shook his head as if that would clear it. "I've got to be cracking up." A rustling from the woods made Eddie tense up again. The huge dog emerged, and the firelight showed something bloody hanging from its mouth. "Oh my God, Snarly, what have you got? Is that a rabbit?" The dog plopped down near Eddie and began ripping the small creature apart. "Dude, you mind? I was just about to eat my dinner." The dog paused for a moment to look up at Eddie, its bloody jowls dripping, and then resumed its meal. Eddie fetched a plate and a knife from his backpack, fished the baked potato out of the fire, and speared his steak with his fork. Settling back on the stump where he had left his now lukewarm beer, he ignored the violence of his new friend's dinner and tackled his own. "Bizarre company's better than no company at all." He raised his beer can toward the dog and said, "Here's to you, Snarly Yow." The dog thumped his tail on the ground twice but kept eating. When Eddie had finished his meal, he wiped his plate, knife, and fork with dirt and dried leaves to get the worst of the grease off, and then got one of the bottled waters from his pack to rinse them. "I'll wash them up right when I get to a sink tomorrow." He stuffed the used foil, the beer can, and the empty water bottle into the bag that had contained the steaks and then got his guitar out of the case and settled back on his stump. Snarleyow continued to eat, happily crunching the remaining rabbit bones at his place by the fire. "Guess those and the bones from the steaks will keep you busy for a while." Eddie couldn't remember how long it had been since he'd picked up his guitar. It always made him think of his father since it had been one of his dad's favorites, and it was probably his most precious possession for that reason. The strings were badly out of tune, but before long Eddie was lightly picking out the notes to a song that his mother especially loved, the song his father had played for her the night he had proposed to her. It was one of Renee's favorites too. Before he was even halfway through the song, a string broke. Snarleyow snapped his head up at the sound and Eddie scowled in disgust. He had another set of strings in his case, but he packed the instrument away and covered it again with the blanket. Eddie put a couple of good-sized branches on the fire and spread the sleeping bag out just beyond the row of stumps, but still on the bare ground of the Devil's legendary pathway, and stretched out on it. "I don't think I'm going to get much sleep tonight, but I can at least get comfortable." The exhaustion from the mental and emotional strain of the day was more than Eddie had anticipated, and he was asleep more quickly than on a normal night at home. He had no idea how much time had passed when he awoke, startled and completely disoriented about where he was. He lay in the darkness beneath a canopy of trees and an abundance of brush through which he could make out his campfire burning low in the distance about 20 yards away. A low growl brought the evening's memory back to him, and he realized that the large black dog, Snarleyow, was standing beside him. Its eyes were fixed on a figure which sat on one of the stumps where Eddie had sat earlier. "How did I get over here?" he thought. "I know I set my sleeping bag out on the dirt by the fire." He rolled over and propped himself up on his elbows and studied the man at the fire. "Is that Nick?" The man who stared into the fire did look like the visitor at Eddie's campfire earlier. But what is he doing there? And who is he talking to? The man mumbled incoherently, or perhaps he spoke in a language Eddie didn't recognize, but his voice grew louder as he seemed to become more agitated. The light from the fire on the old man's face threw much of his features into shadow so that he looked more frightening than he had before. His eyes were pinpoints of orange firelight under dark, shaggy brows. His cheeks seemed more sunken, his nose and chin sharper. As his voice rose, he stood and began to pace around the fire. Snarleyow continued to growl, but he remained perfectly still beside Eddie. Eddie noticed that Nick no longer wore shoes. His feet were misshapen and huge, resembling hooves more than human feet. As the old man crossed in front of the fire on his circling walk, Eddie viewed his silhouette against the firelight and gasped when he noticed the horns that had sprouted from Nick's head. As Eddie watched, they grew longer and longer, curving as they stretched into the large, spiraled horns of a ram or a goat. As he walked, the creature grumbled louder, and Eddie recognized a rhythm to the cadence of his speech that matched his steps. He's chanting. When Nick rounded the turn and his face was visible in profile once more, Eddie saw that his visage seemed to shift in the flickering light of the low-burning flames. At times, it still resembled the old man who had visited Eddie's fire earlier that evening, but then it would change so that it looked like a much younger man. When a log popped and shot glowing embers into the air as if releasing dozens of fireflies, Eddie's heart skipped a beat. He thought, for a second, that the face illuminated in the brief burst of light resembled his own. But then the features blurred and shifted again into those of a classic demon straight out of the pages of his grandmother's illustrated Bible. As the devilish creature made one last turn around the fire, its eyes latched on Eddie's. The demon's expression changed from one of anger and frustration to a terrifying smile of great twisted delight. It stopped its pacing and spoke in a raspy voice that threatened to scrape the leaves from the trees. "At last, Eddie Bowen, at last." That concludes this episode from Season 3 of Dark Corners, Wraiths of the Appalachian. Eddie's journey has certainly taken a dark turn, but there are plenty more dark places for Eddie to go. I hope you'll return to see what this encounter on the Devil's Tramping Ground means for Eddie, and what else Mr. D has in store for him. The music for this episode, and all the chapters of Wraiths of the Appalachian, was created by the dark ambient musician Mombi Yuleman. You can stream the album that started it all, as well as other spooky soundtracks, on his website, mombiyuleman.bandcamp.com. I also invite you to join me on the Dark Corners Facebook page, where members share all kinds of fun, dark topics. To learn more about my books and projects, and how to sign up for my newsletter, and get a free original horror story of mine that's not available anywhere else, you can visit my official website at davidallenboyles.com. That's all for now. Unless you see that child ambling around the graveyard. If you do, send him home. Somebody might actually care. See you soon in the Dark Corners.